If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be to you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the way I remember it from the New International Version. It's a verse to which I've had occasion to return often. It goes very much against the grain of our culture, with its constant urging for more and better. Don't just settle, go for the gusto. Why be content when there's so much more you can have? Don't settle for that minimal return on your money. You need to push hard if you really want to get ahead. And on it goes. With that kind of perspective pushing in business and finance and advertising and the automotive and housing industries, any kind of conversation about contentment is seen as, horror of horrors, settling. As if contentment were un-American. St. Paul's admonition is most welcome in the midst of that clamor. Strive and struggle to get ahead all you want, but godliness with contentment is great gain. A healthy bank balance, a well-stocked IRA or 401k may help in your golden years, but there's something even more important. Godliness with contentment. You'll never have peace and rest without contentment. And contentment comes not through acquisition, but through godliness. When you are convinced that the Lord will provide all that you need to support this body and life, and the life to come, you can be content, whether in plenty or in want, for in all things God is with you. Nothing can change the fact that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that you have an eternal home with Him, a home that far surpasses anything you could build for yourself here. Especially since everything here is destined for destruction. Now, all of this is true enough, and probably something we need to hear more often than not, surrounded as we are by a very different message. But it isn't really the main point St. Paul is making in his letter to young Timothy. Read in context, Paul's words seem aimed much more narrowly at those who see the church, and specifically in writing to Timothy, the holy ministry, as a way to enrich themselves. As St. Paul puts it, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. This comes in connection with his warning against those who teach a different doctrine and do not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness. Such a man, he says, imagines that godliness is a means of gain. Paul seems to be indicating that already in the first century, there were people who were trying to leverage the preaching of God's word with whatever adjustments they felt necessary to make it most attractive, who were trying to leverage the preaching of God's word into prestige and honor, and most of all, money. They imagined that godliness is a means of gain, Paul writes. And then says, now there is great gain in godliness. Godliness with contentment. And then he makes it clear that this great gain is not measured in gold coin or dollars and cents. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. On the other hand, discontentment, a desire to be rich, ends up plunging people into ruin and destruction, even to the extent that they fall from the faith and end up in hell. All as a result of imagining that godliness is a means of gain, a route to earthly wealth. But as for you, O man of God, Paul continues to his young colleague Timothy, as for you, flee these things. Don't love money and pursue riches. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. You have riches in heaven, the treasure of righteousness paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to the eternal life Christ has won for you. That's the true treasure, which is kept in heaven for you, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. O man of God, Paul writes, O Timothy, the rest of us might personalize it, O Christian, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Treasure that treasure. Don't set it aside for any reason. Your Savior has taken hold of you, that you might live with him in his kingdom in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. When he returns at the proper time, you will see and experience a glory that far outshines anything the earth can offer. A glory that will make the lifestyles of the rich and famous a paltry nothing in comparison. Guard the deposit, the word of God which proclaims the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation which he has entrusted to you. Guard it until that day. And then you will rejoice in heavenly glory forever. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.